no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Our guest joining us on the show now from The Athletic, he covers the Ottawa Senators. Good friend of Illegal Curve, Ian Mendez, joins the show. Ian, good morning. Nice to see you. How you doing, buddy?
Guys, doing fantastic. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Ian obviously brought you on. Talk about the Senators. They're in town to face the Jets for the final time tonight. And, you know, Ian, the Senators to me are really one of the great stories in the NHL this season. We know how terrible their struggles have been. We know that they've gone through, I believe, 36 or 37 goaltenders. I'm not sure what the count is officially up to at this point in time. But, you know, over the last month, this has been one of the best teams in the NHL. And you wrote about this, you know, a few weeks back for The Athletic, sort of talking about why this is more than just a meaningless sort of dead cat bounce. There's a sign of optimism for the first time in a lot of years in our nation's capital over the performance of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting here, guys, is you got to go back and look at this big picture, okay? So Ottawa in the last three seasons have finished 30th, 31st and 30th overall, right? So like the bar is pretty low. Like even if you look at it today, I haven't refreshed the standings here on this Saturday morning, but I think they're like 24th overall or whatever it is. And yet it seems like a quantum leap forward, doesn't it? Like in most places you'd be like, wow, they finished 25th overall, whoop-de-doo. But here in Ottawa, it's like, wow, it feels really good. And I think a big part of that, guys, is the last 5 weeks or 6 weeks, they have been a legitimate good team, not just a okay, like legitimately, they've been good. You guys, I think, have seen that against Winnipeg a little bit lately. If you juxtapose the version of the Ottawa Senators you have seen the last couple of times the Jets faced Ottawa versus what you saw back in, I think, January, February, you'd be like, wow, that's a different team. And so that's why this is feeling a lot different. It's that the young kids are the ones that are doing it. These are the guys that you know are going to be part of the core, Drake Batherson, Josh Norris, Brady Tkachuk, et cetera. You know that they're going to be the ones delivering, and they're the ones delivering right now. So there's a real sense of optimism for the first time, I would say, since they got deep in the playoffs in 2017. I think there's a real palpable sense of excitement here in Ottawa.
And Ian, you know, I found for The Athletic most recently, you had a fan survey. And in the beginning, opening paragraph, you're talking about kind of your expectations weren't the highest for the survey, just based on the way surveys can go and how, you know, depending on how the team's doing, you know, fans can be a little bit irrational, let's say. But, you know, I thought it was really interesting to read all of the different questions. And you know, in addition to, you know, how many people gave Pierre Dorion, Senators GM, a good grade, I believe it was a B. I found it really interesting when it got to the questions about the outlook of the team, and that kind of ties in to what we were just talking about. And there is a good percentage of Senators fans that believe this team can make the playoffs, you know, next season. Obviously, you know, it might help a little bit if it was a North division. We know that's not going to happen, but is that probably, you know, looking at the fan survey that you ran for The Athletic, was that the most surprising to you? Is the amount of, or maybe it's not surprising the way the Senators have played lately, but just the optimism, you know, that this can be a playoff team, you know, not too long from now?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, like one of the questions we asked in this survey was like, what's the one adjective you would use to describe your feeling towards the team right now? Is it optimistic? Is it pessimistic? Is it indifferent? Is it frustrated? And it was like 86% said optimistic. And you just have to understand where this market has been. As I mentioned, the last three seasons, they've been languishing at the bottom of the standings. So to get that type of optimism from a fan base, as you mentioned, you know, Canadian or just good hockey markets are fickle by nature, right? Like, because this is what we do in Canada, right? We micromanage and we microanalyze every little thing, and we're never happy unless our team wins the Stanley Cup, and that hasn't happened in almost 30 years. So it's really hard to get this type of optimism around a Canadian team. But again, that speaks to the kind of scorched earth approach that Ottawa took in the last 3 years, that they're starting to see some of the seeds of that, you know, starting to blossom. But I think that is absolutely that. That's what surprised me. I think if you had done this poll in January or February and ask what's your optimism level, I'm not sure it reaches 40% or 50%. And to have it at 85% was really, really rather eye-opening to me.
Saturday morning, you're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Our guest talking about the Senators, tonight's opponent of the Winnipeg Jets, is Ian Mendez of The Athletic.
You know, Ian, I'm lucky enough to watch and cover the Manitoba Moose in addition to covering the Winnipeg Jets. So I've seen those Belleville Senators for the last few years. And I could tell you right now, they have a lot of reason for optimism because I saw those players when they were getting time with Belleville. And, you know, the jump that some of these guys have made to the NHL isn't that surprising given how good they looked just, you know, a year or two ago. But, you know, to those, speaking to that idea of the young guys, like you lose Thomas Chabot, who I believe is done for the season. I think after that hit from Logan Stanley against the Jets last week. But then you have a guy like Jacob Bernard Docker who comes into the lineup and gets it, an opportunity to play. Is that what you're seeing in Ottawa? Is just that the rise of the youth and all of these young guys who are getting these opportunities, and they're not just getting them, and they're seizing them, and they're really doing something with it?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. I think that is a great point, is that you and like you said, you've seen this last couple of years. You would have seen Josh Norris become a 30-goal scorer, Alex Formanton, Drake Batherson. Some of these really good players that have been good for Ottawa at the NHL level have slowly kind of moved up the system. And the funny thing is, in Ottawa this year, there's a segment of the fans that felt like it didn't happen fast enough, that defensemen like Eric Brännström or earlier this season, Christian Wolanin, now it's Jacob Bernard Docker, people wanted to see them play all the time. And DJ Smith's and Pierre Dorion's philosophy was patience. We got to slowly integrate these guys into the lineup. And I don't know that it necessarily happened at the pace that a lot of fans wanted, because there was times this season where their back end featured Braden Coburn, Eric Branson, even Josh Brown recently. Up front, they had guys like Derek Stepan, Alex Galchenyuk, like veteran guys that were like, you felt like they were just placeholders. And I don't know if there's what the direct correlation is, but they struggled early in the season with veteran older guys in the lineup. They struggled. Younger guys in the lineup, they're doing better. I think it's too easy of a line to say that, oh, look, if they had just played the kids all season long, they would have been good, because I do think goaltending has been a major factor. And I think the minute that they started getting above average goaltending is the minute that they turned this thing around. But absolutely, this is a youth movement full on. And next season, you're going to see guys like Shane Pinto probably be in this lineup all the time. Brännström's probably going to be an everyday player. And so you're going to see a pretty young team come September, October, or whenever that next season starts.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be more of a normal year next year, but time will tell on that front. Ian Mendez of The Athletic, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And Ian, you mentioned goaltending, and I was going to ask you about that, because, you know, within every celebratory conversation about the Senators right now, the goaltending is still the big question. I mean, Matt Murray makes the same amount of money as Connor Hellebuck. You know, I think he actually even makes more than Connor Hellebuck by about $100,000, give or take. What evidence is there that Matt Murray is going to be good enough to lead the Senators to have above average goaltending for the next three seasons?
It's the great question, Drew. It really is, because I think if you ask people in Pittsburgh, and when Matt Murray was traded to Ottawa, I don't think that was a bad move by the Senators. In fact, I think, you know what, you're getting a 26-year-old goalie with two Stanley Cup rings, and you're only essentially giving up a second-round pick. I don't think a lot of people in the marketplace had a problem with that. Where the eyebrows got raised was a few weeks later, he signs a four-year, $25 million extension. And you're like, wait, what? Like, wait, what? Like, honestly, because you talk to people in Pittsburgh, they're like, look, when Matt Murray's going, he's good. And I talked to Jim Rutherford a few weeks ago, and Jim Rutherford was like, you know, when Matt Murray was at his peak, we felt so confident. He's like, I can't tell you how confident we felt. But then think about it. They still felt comfortable enough to trade that guy a few months ago. So obviously they felt like he wasn't going to get it back on track. And they'll tell you in Pittsburgh, the things that undermined Matt Murray were two things: injuries and inconsistency. And if I were to summarize Matt Murray's first season here in Ottawa, I would say injuries and inconsistency. But the thing is, there's just enough kind of tantalizing play from him to keep you going. But the problem is, as you mentioned, Drew, it's the $6 million contract. That's not a gamble That's not a contract you give somebody on a gamble. You know what I mean? A gamble is a 1 year deal, a 2 year deal. It's not a 4 year deal. So they went all in on Matt Murray, and the good news is he looked a lot better in the back half of the season. He looked just positionally sound. He looked he looks calmer. I guess the layperson's way to say it. He just looked calm in the net in the back half of the season. I don't know where that's going to lead though next season. We're going to come back in the next season. And we're going to have the exact same questions we had about Matt Murray going into January. We're going to have them again in October. And that's kind of one of those nagging issues, I think, in the back of the minds of Ottawa Senators fans is we're probably only going to be as good as Matt Murray. And we don't know how good Matt Murray is going to be.
And Ian, I just wrote it down. We're going to make sure that when we have you on in late September, early October, that we ask that exact same question, yeah. Phrased the exact same way about Matt Murray. But yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, Ian, you know, Murray was playing better as the season progressed, and he's still at an age where, you know, that, you know, he's not towards the end of his career. He's still a relatively young goalie. And I think, you know, he's proven he's got a couple Stanley Cup rings. You can never forget about that. It obviously helped to have guys like Crosby and Malkin and Letang on the team, but Murray was sensational during those runs. But I wanted to ask you about Connor Brown, because I went back and I looked, and Connor Brown has 9 points against the Jets this year in, I forget if it's 7 games or 8 games. And obviously, you know, this guy's had an unbelievable year for the Senators with 19 goals. And I think people forget that in his first full season with the Leafs, he scored 20 goals. And Brown was a player that Leafs fans were not happy to lose. In fact, they were pretty upset that they lost him. So the question I had for you is just, you know, how important has he been to this team? We talk about, you know, all the young players on this team like Brady Tkachuk and Norris and Batherson, Fermenton. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Tim Stützle, but he just seems to be just exceeding expectations. Just how well he's played this year. And, you know, he has a really good shot to hit 20 goals this year. It might happen as early as tonight with the way he's played against the Jets this year.
Yeah, and I think they played them 9 times. So I think tonight's the Saturday game, the 10th, yeah. Time. Ottawa and Winnipeg. Okay. Yeah, it's nuts. They play each other 10 times. I look at Connor Brown, and you go back to the trade deadline for the Maple Leafs. And what was the thing that Toronto was looking for? They were like, man, we sure could use this two-way forward. It's almost like if we could make a copy of Zach Hyman, that'd be perfect. Well, that's what Connor Brown is. He is a guy who can kind of just seamlessly float in and out of your second and third line. And he's leading this team in goal scoring. And, you know, I got to give full credit to my colleague, Wayne Scanlon, who is, you know, for people who know Wayne, he's a writer here in Ottawa, writes for Sportsnet, and had a column this week just talking about Connor Brown and why isn't Connor Brown getting some love for the Selke Trophy? And Wayne Scanlon was right. You start to look at Connor Brown's underlying numbers here, okay? And he leads all forwards in the NHL in shorthanded time on ice. There's not a single forward in the NHL who has played more shorthanded time this season than Connor Brown. Then you start to look at he's got 4 shorthanded goals, which is tops. He's he's a top 5 in takeaways. He's doing all these things. And, oh, yeah, he's got 19 goals. If you prorate this over a full season, that's a 30-goal season. And I'm not saying Connor Brown's a 30-goal guy, but he had a 7-game goal streak. You figured he was going to just cool off after that, right? He had 7 games with a goal, 7 straight games this season. You're like, okay, well, that was a fun little heater from Connor Brown. He scored 5 goals in his last 8 games, guys. Like, he hasn't really cooled off. So this is a remarkable season. When you look at all of the underlying defensive metrics, marry that with the potential 30-goal season, you're almost looking at a very rare unicorn-type season from Connor Brown. And so he is the perfect guy to kind of be a young veteran, kind of a stabilizing force here. And I think the best thing to say about Connor Brown is he has moved past Evgeny Dadonov on the depth chart of right wingers on this team. And people thought when they signed Dadonov, and I put myself in this group, I was like, wow, they got a legitimate top 6 forward in Evgeny Dadonov. And now they're set. Connor Brown has been better. And he's been arguably their most valuable forward this season.
Saturday morning, it's 10:30. Ian Mendez of The Athletic is our guest on the show. We're talking about the Senators and the Jets for the final time tonight, later on at the Downtown Arena here in Winnipeg.
Can I just ask a question here, Drew?
Yeah.
Are you just throwing, is that the slightest jab when you say here in our downtown arena.
No.
It feels like you're just hammering home the point. You guys in Winnipeg have a downtown arena and we play in a cornfield here.
That's what it felt like. First of all, I used to live in Ottawa, so I would never say anything bad about the drive from, I used to live in the market. So I used to make the drive from the market down to Kanata. You know, yeah. I had to go for, you know, the 3 hours it would take me to get there after a work night. So I would never take a jab at the arena. The truth is, Ian, that I have to go out of my way on a regular basis to try and avoid mentioning the corporate name of the arena that owns that's got the naming rights for the arena here in Winnipeg, simply because, at least from my perspective, little bit of bad blood for how they treated the good folks over at TSN 1290, including us. So I try to go out of my way to not give them a plug when at all possible. That's truly the only reason I do it.
I see. I like it.
Ian, Drew is a petty
man. I'm petty. I'm petty. First, look, I'm the first to admit I'm a petty small man when it comes to certain things, and this is one of them.
Well, it's funny, Ian. I did contemplate asking you about the Ottawa and the arena situation, but I'm gonna pivot from that because I really would be more curious about, you know, the job that DJ Smith has done. You know, this is his second season as a head coach in the NHL. Obviously, a number of years as an assistant coach in Toronto. How would you evaluate what he's been able to do with this young group in Ottawa?
Well, I think you can only mark him on or judge him based on how the team has kind of performed under him. And as you guys have seen in the last 6 weeks, they've responded. I think when you get a young group of guys playing quote unquote meaningless games, but doing so with a great degree of success, I think that speaks to they like playing for the coach. At least it feels that way. I mean, you guys have probably seen teams down the stretch, games don't matter, you mail it in, or not mail it in, but you just maybe you don't go through the wall because you don't love the coach. These guys seem to love DJ Smith. So I think it's there was never any pressure on DJ though this season. It's a rarity that two seasons into his tenure as head coach in a Canadian market, he's had no external pressure. But that's going to change next year. It's not a free spot in the bingo card anymore for the Ottawa Senators head coach. There's going to be some realistic expectations. And I think as long as they can take another step forward, I'm not saying they got to be a playoff team next year, but if they can take another tangible step forward under DJ Smith and some of these younger players, Shane Pinto, Jacob Bernard Docker, Tim Stützle, can take a step forward in their development, I have a feeling that he'll be back for another season. He is heading into the last year of his contract, but I think you're kind of at a crossroads with him next season. You gotta take a step forward and show that you're the right guy for the job moving forward. This is the last kind of messy part of the rebuild, and as they move into the next phase of being a contender, DJ Smith has shown he's the right guy to get them out of the mess. Is he the right guy for the next phase? And I think that's only a question we can answer after, let's say, 50, 60, 70 games next season.
Last Ian, question. Sorry. I was just going to ask you, what are your favorite parts of the Bell Media Corporation? But I guess I'll ask a Senators related question.
Listen, I left on my own terms. I will say, you know what? And I do say this in all sincerity, especially when you guys reached out and said, "Hey, do you mind coming on?" I love the fact that we're seeing some of the old shows that were under the TSN Bell Media umbrella. I love that they're surviving in these formats. And I'm a big supporter. That's why I said, when you reached out and said, "Can you come on?" 100%. Like, this is what we have to do.
But Ian, that was after you said, "How did you get my number, though?"
Yeah, that's right. Who is this? But I think it's really important that we in the quote-unquote traditional media make sure we support projects like this one, because we're all one step away from doing this. And I think it's really cool. I see what Sakarius and Price are doing in Vancouver. I see what Hustler is doing in your market, Andrew Patterson. And I think it's really neat. And I think it's inspiring for people who still work in traditional AM radio in this country to see shows like this going on with the production value and the work that you guys put into it. I think it's inspiring and it's really cool. So anyway, that's end of my rant about Bell Media and job cuts. I just think it's cool what you guys are doing.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that a lot, Ian. And we had you on a bunch of times when we were still on 1290. We should also mention Brent Wallace and Mark Mathot, who were doing a great job with the Wally and Mathot show as well, right? But the last question I had
Dylan
for
DeMello
you
on this week. So
absolutely, yeah, we had that on our website as well. But yeah, you know, wanted to ask just one question. You mentioned Tim Stützle, and you know, obviously, you know, he's had his ups and downs. But is this what you know the Senators expected out of Stützle, considering he's 18 years old? You knew you were going to have some growing pains, but sometimes, you know, you see that skill, and we've seen it against the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, you know that this is going to be a special player, and you know he's going to put up big point totals in this league, and it's probably not going to be too long from now.
Yeah, and you know, he turned 19, I think, on opening night. Like, if it wasn't opening night, it was like he had his 19th birthday. He was 18 at the end of training camp. Like, I think everyone knew that this was going to be a work in progress. There's very few teenagers. The ones that come in and are dominant are the Crosbys and the Lindroses, and we all knew that he was never in that kind of stratosphere, right? But he's going to be a really good player for a long time, and I think we've seen some spurts of offensive productivity. I think he had 10 points in 14 games in February, was the NHL Rookie of the Month. He had a 3-point night at the Bell Center in the middle of that month, and you thought, okay, well, here we go. We're starting to see this guy blossom, and then right after that, he went 22 games and had just one goal. So he's like, oh, okay, well, you got to remember, he's a teenager. So you've seen some really great things out of him. You've seen some really uneven play. But I think that's what you kind of expect out of teenagers. Unless you're, like I said, Crosby, Lemieux, Lindros, it's very hard to come into this league and be a point-per-game player as a teenager. I don't think anyone was expecting that. But at the end of the year, again, if you prorated his stats, he'd be about a 15-goal, 40-point guy. That's not that bad. You know, that's not that bad. Productivity-wise, I think he's fourth or fifth in rookie scoring. He's going to be just fine. And I think in 2 years from now, I think he's going to develop into a 25 to 30 goal scorer in this league. And I think his ceiling is still super high. And it's really fun to watch him with some of the dynamic skill that he brings to the table.
Things are optimistic in the nation's capital. I'm not sure they're optimistic on Parliament Hill, but they're optimistic at the very least in Canada. Ian Mendez covers the Senators for The Athletic. Ian, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Ezra, Dave, Drew, good luck with everything here in the months ahead with the project. Always love being a guest. And yeah, I'll talk to you again real soon.
And Ian, just, you know, was going to throw one thing after our conversation about, you know, the arenas. I think I'm going to, you know, put the Arcade Fire Suburbs album on and listen to that this afternoon.
Ironically, speaking of, now this is all going to come all to fruition. I saw Arcade Fire open for U2 at the arena in Kanata. Gosh, I'm trying to think how many years ago that would have been now. Probably 15 years ago, Arcade Fire opened for U2 at the arena in Ottawa, a lifetime ago as it was.
See, yeah, perfect. Full circle.
There you go. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, you bet, you guys. Have a great day.
There he goes. Ian Mendez. Thanks, Ian. Covering the Ottawa Senators for The Athletic. Let's take our final commercial break. When we come back, an update from the Winnipeg Jets game day skate. We'll tell you about the lineup decisions and how the Jets are looking to line up and set the roster for tonight's contest against the Senators. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club. Bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, with Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg. Nice to see so many of you joining us on this bright and sunny Saturday morning. At least I assume it's still sunny. I have no idea. I'm in a windowless bunker in my basement. Somebody else can tell me if it's sunny or not, still outside.
Why don't you just put a window in there?
Well, because I'm not sure that I have that necessarily in the budget, and very few people, as far as I know, put a window in their electrical room, because that sort of seems counterproductive to everything else. But, you know, if you're throwing some money at the case there, Ezzy, if you're willing to put some money behind your suggestion, then by all means, you can come in and, well, I'd say you can send somebody to install a window, because Lord knows I don't want you anywhere in my house.
Yeah, I'll borrow the money from Dave, and then I'll give it to you, and then we can get a window in there.
It sounds like a wonderful Ponzi scheme if I've ever heard one. This segment of the show brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. I can assure you, Rumors is champing at the bit to reopen. Maybe after this month, we can get through the last of the shutdowns. Fingers crossed. I got my toes crossed for that as well. But if you want to support Rumors in the interim, or if you want to support any of our great small businesses here in Winnipeg, go out, buy a gift card if you can afford it. You know, eventually it's going to be Christmas time again, and you're going to need some stocking stuffers. So go out, buy some gift cards now, throw them in some stockings, throw them in a drawer, bring them out during Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever you want to celebrate, and maybe support some small local businesses at the same time. Whatever you can do, if you can do anything, would be greatly appreciated, and get the very important Illegal Curve seal of approval. Do we have a seal?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do. Yeah, okay, we have a stamp of approval as well.
Dave, your mic is muted. I can see you saying, no, we don't have a seal, but I think we should be notary publics. Maybe we can start notarizing some documents for people here. I can't see any problem with that strategy whatsoever, right?
Yeah, nothing bad would come from that.
No, there's certainly nothing illegal about that.
And Dave also listens to Seal as well. Kiss from a rose. Yeah.
Promise you an update from about the Jets roster ahead of tonight's game against the Senators. Neil Pionk, who was questionable, didn't skate yesterday at practice. It was an optional game day skate as well this morning. He will not be in the Winnipeg Jets lineup for tonight's game against the Senators. Morrissey and DeMello, Forbort and Poolman, Hainala and Jordy Ben playing on his right side, which is where he's actually had the greatest deal of success in his career. So those are the Jets' D pairings for tonight. Jansen Harkins stays in on the fourth line, so no change to the Jets' forward groups for tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's unfortunate that Pionk isn't going to be able to play tonight. But as Dave mentioned, you know, the belief is this is not anything long-term. And Pionk should be back in the lineup, hopefully for one of those games against Vancouver. But, you know, another opportunity for Paul Maurice to see Jordy Ben and Ville Heinola. And, you know, even though, you know, I think, you know, some people would rather see Logan Stanley in the lineup over Jordy Ben. I think there's a really good chance that you're going to see Stanley Dave, you know, probably play, you know, at least one of these last three games after tonight's game, right? Maybe he plays even more, but, you know, just another opportunity to see some different looks, right? And, you know, get a player in that maybe otherwise wouldn't have played. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. I think there's a really good chance with these upcoming games against the Canucks, that's when you see maybe, you know, some forwards who might be a little bit banged up, or, you know, the forwards that have played the majority of the games, you know, maybe you have a few of these guys, and then that maybe gets a guy like, you know, Christian Vesalainen and Dave into the lineup. So going back to, you know, what we talked about, great interview, by the way, with Ian Mendez. I mean, Ian has always been, you know, such a great journalist, you know, making the transition from radio to TV, pardon me, radio to newspaper. He was on, I guess I should say newspaper to The Athletic. Pardon me. Let's get this right. Sorry, guys.
Do you need some help? We can help you with this. Yeah. Newspaper?
He was on
radio.
Yes, I know what a newspaper is. He went from, Ian was on TSN 1200 for a long time, and then now he's writing for The Athletic, which is not a newspaper, but you guys know what I meant. He was on TV prior to being on radio, but, you know, this is an important game for the Jets because of the way the Senators have been a playoff team. If we're basing it on the second half of the season, the Senators would be in a playoff spot, right, guys? So, you know, the Jets are going to have to come with a very honest, hardworking effort. And hopefully some of the guys that have been struggling to score, we talked about that with Mike McIntyre. So, you know, the Pierre-Luc Dubois, the Kyle Connors, Mason Appleton, hopefully you see, you know, most of these guys getting on the score sheet tonight.
And, you know, one of the things, Drew, one of the things we talked about was, and we're seeing it from the tweets from the Palmer's interview, is the fact that Ville Heinola will get a shot on the power play unit. I don't want to say which analyst on the show mentioned that would be a good opportunity for the Jets, but he's the one wearing the Dodgers hat.
That was you, Dave.
Oh, yes. There we go.
You should want to take credit for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I did actually mention Desi. I was going to take credit for it. But the point is that it's a good opportunity. Right, it's a good opportunity for a guy who's got a ton of talent to see what he can do, you know, quarterbacking a power play. So I think this is what we've been talking about for this Jets club. Is it's not exhibition hockey. You're not just throwing seven guys in the lineup and saying, let's see what they can all do. And remember, folks have to realize, like, the Jets have a taxi squad, but the Moose are in Toronto. The Moose are playing in about, you know, 3 hours in Toronto. So all those guys who are playing, Perfetti, Gustafson, you know, all those defensemen, Samberg, who scored his first pro goal, we should mention that, in the first game of this road trip. Those guys aren't available for the Winnipeg Jets to call up and play. They're going to be on the road with the Manitoba Moose, which road trip doesn't end until next week. So the fact is, the Jets season will be done before the Moose season is done, and you're not going to have, unless the Jets, you know, privately fly a guy back. But why they would do that, if they were going to do it, that you think they would have already planned for it. And again, there's a ton of value for Dylan Samberg to be playing for the Manitoba Moose, for Cole Perfetti to be playing for the Manitoba Moose. I'm a broken record on this, but it's just my feeling, right? Again, Johnny Kovacevic, you know, 6'5", 220-pound defenseman, but he's a guy who's excited right now getting power play time, playing 38 minutes in one game earlier this season for the Manitoba Moose. You don't want these guys playing for the Winnipeg Jets. Dylan Samberg scoring his first pro goal, you know, you want that to be happening with the Manitoba Moose. I know people don't, but it's the fact. That's what you want. That's what you want these guys to do. And if you can, you might get them in the playoffs. But realistically, you want those guys on the Moose. David Gustafson as well, although he's a guy who I probably think could play in the NHL. But he's a guy who is better off playing on the top unit for the Manitoba Moose. So, again, you're not getting help from the Moose when it comes to the Jets lineup. But, again, you have guys who are currently with the Jets. Like I said, Ville Heinola. Ville Heinola isn't the panacea that's going to save this Jets team. He's not going to be the, you know, but I think what he can provide you is a very viable option. And you're getting the chance to see him in by the way, remember, a second power play unit that's had more success than the first power play unit, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. At least in terms of proportion of time on ice, they've done more with their time on ice than the first unit has. You're right about that.
Yeah, and I just think, like, it's an opportunity for Ville Heinola to show what we saw when he was playing with the Manitoba Moose. I jokingly said on a power play once when I was watching, and again, like, I don't know how many people actually watch Moose games, but the reality is he looked like a guy who had eyes in the side of his head, because that's the way his vision works. Like, he really is, like, he has an excellent hockey sense. So I think he'll be able to thrive with the man advantage for the Winnipeg Jets. There was a question.
It's bonus time, Dave, right?
100%.
It's absolute bonus time, right? Like, he's obviously going to play tonight, but he just gets more minutes that he... So if you think about it, Neil Pionk was the perfect player for him to replace. As we mentioned, obviously, you know, you don't like that Pionk is missing a game, and we hope that it's only one game that he misses. But, you know, that's for me, just like the game within the game, right? And we know that, you know, the power play has been good for the majority of the season. But, you know, going back to that homestand, guys, and earlier on in the road trip, the power play was struggling, right? Like, right. You go back to the game against the Senators. How many power plays did they have, Drew? I think it was six. It was six or seven. And that was one of the main reasons why they didn't win that game against the Senators. No, so you have to think that, you know, the Jets are wanting to, you know, score at least one, you know, maybe a couple goals on the power play tonight, you know, to make up for how bad that power play was against the Senators. Because they really didn't have that many good looks. You miss Ehlers, there's no doubt. But there's enough talented players on both the first power play unit and the second power play unit to get results. This is still a you know, top five power play in the league, in my opinion. So, and obviously the numbers, you know, bear that out. So, you know, it's going to be great to see Heinola on that power play. And Dave is absolutely right. He has so much talent. And then, you know, you wonder if, you know, when the playoffs come around, he's a guy that, you know, maybe they keep on the power play. I mean, it's obviously Morrissey and Pionk who are the usual defensemen. But just having that option for Maurice is a good thing.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because this, I mean, you know, and this is sort of piggybacking on what our buddies Rennie and Kenny and Rennie were talking about yesterday.
What about Kenny and Spenny?
Yeah, Kenny and Spenny too. You know, they were talking about this, and it was posted on illegalcurve.com. You know, what does Heinola have to sort of prove or do over the next four games in order to assure himself of a spot on the Jets' top six of the defense for playoff time? Is that a pipe dream, or is that, no, you know, does he have to do something, you know, tonight and then Monday, Tuesday, and then next Friday to sort of affirm himself as one of the top three left side defensemen for the Jets? I believe he should be there. You guys believe he should be there. Most of the people believe he should be there, but the man who makes that decision, Paul Maurice, certainly has not given any indication that he firmly believes that. So what does Heinola need to do starting tonight to affirm his spot for the playoffs?
Yeah, and Weber had a really good... We should also mention it's not Weber's birthday tomorrow. I looked it up, and I remember I wished Weber... I think his birthday's in March.
I think it's an ongoing... My understanding is it's an ongoing joke that it's every day is Weber's birthday.
I thought that was the Rick Ralph joke back in the TSN 1290 days, but regardless, it isn't, so I'm going to take back my happy birthday, because you don't wish someone a happy birthday when it's not their birthday. Just kidding. I mean, let's have fun with that joke. But
the real rule is you don't ask somebody when they're expecting unless you're sure they're pregnant. But your analogy also works as well there, Ezzy.
Weird, because I was walking down the street yesterday and somebody asked me if I was pregnant, but... physically impossible.
I may have made that mistake back in the Earl's main days. I'm not going to lie.
That was awkward, probably.
And you never asked women their age either.
I didn't ask the person specifically. I asked someone else about the person, and they said, "You're terrible." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know."
Well, they're a good judge of character. You are terrible.
Well, that's true.
Go ahead, Ezzy. What are you
cool saying? Story, Dave. But let's get back to the defense and Ville Heinola here. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Paul Maurice is going to be maybe watching Heinola a little bit closer than other players. But I think you just want to see an overall consistent game. And, you know, Dave has watched Heinola much more than anybody else in the city, with maybe the exception of Pascal. But, you know, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Like, he's very mature for his age. And that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, he's being given this opportunity. You haven't seen a lot of 20-year-old defensemen, right, guys, be given this much opportunity, like playing on the second power play unit. So I think, you know, he's going to have to continue to play like he did in the last game of the road trip against Calgary, right? Like, he looked really good moving the puck, you know, and that's ultimately why I think he should be in the lineup in the playoffs, is quite simply because of his skill level. And his skill level, I think, is quite higher, you know, than specifically Jordy Benn. And, you know, you wonder, guys, if the Jets defense is completely healthy, obviously minus Nathan Beaulieu, like, who is going to be, you know, the defenseman on the left side that is the odd man out, right? Like, is it going to be Derek Forbort? I think that's something that, you know, needs to be discussed. I think it's really between Ville Heinola, Logan Stanley, and Derek Forbort. And you'd probably give Forbort, you know, the the upper hand just because he's played the majority of games paired up with Neil Pionk. But I think, put it this way, Drew, if Ville Heinola continues to play the way he has in the last four games of the season, I think you strongly have to look at, you know, putting Heinola in over either Forbort or Stanley on that left side.
I think it makes sense there. Dave, what do you need to see from Heinola? I mean, what is, you know, pretend you're Paul Maurice. I mean, this is a guy, you know, despite what he might say about having played 10 rookies, you know, back in his Carolina days, it's been a long time since then. And, you know, you have to go with what he's done most recently. And that clearly is that he hasn't trusted the rookies. So if you're Paul Maurice, what do you need to see to get him to change his mind?
Well, I mean, again, I think you see the things that he does so well. I think that those short passes, getting the puck out of the Jets zone entries. I mean, he's keep playing clean. I mean, he was asked about body position and how does he as a smaller guy handle these big boys who are coming in on him. And he just says he understands the kind of player he is and play within the structure of his game. But I think if you give him that opportunity, his skating ability is such, and his offensive ability and his, you know, the sense that he has is going to go a long way for this Jets team. And I think he brings an element that they don't have a ton of, right? I mean, again, we're looking at, who are you looking at? Derek Forbort? Derek Forbort is what Derek Forbort is, which again, in my mind, is a third pairing defenseman, you know, when he's healthy. And I don't know that he's that healthy because, you know, there were a couple instances where he looked very slow the last few games. So to me, Derek Forbort is a guy who should probably be your third pairing defenseman. That's not a knock on him. That's just where he is. This is a guy who played, how many games did he play last year? 8? 10? 15? Whatever
before
it was.
Before the bubble, he didn't play in very many.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, he dealt with a lot of injuries. He's been healthy this year. That's a good thing because he's been good. But again, part of that was playing with Neil Pionk. So, I'm of the opinion that Ville Heinola is a player who has the experience. Again, you know, he's not that far removed from playing in the World Juniors, but he's also a guy who's played in the Finnish League with men. He played in the American Hockey League with men, and he can handle himself at the NHL level. So, you know, you want a guy like, look, we saw it with Dylan DeMello. You want a guy who's going to be quiet. He's not going to make waves. He's going to get that pass out because we've seen so much trouble with the Jets in terms of their passing and getting the play up the ice. So many passes have been in the skates behind guys, and it just throws off all the momentum on this Jets team. They can't attack because they're reaching backwards. And because they're reaching backwards, their momentum ends and they're stuck in the neutral zone and they don't get anything going. So if you have a guy who can make a crisp pass, if you have a guy who can lug the puck up the ice, get it into that zone when he's on the power play, it's going to go a world for this Jets team, I think. And again, like I said, I'm not throwing this all on Ville Heinola and saying he's going to be the savior of this Jets franchise, but I don't think he's going to hurt them. And I think if you give him the opportunity, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you know what Jordy Benn is and you know what Derek Forbort is. So let Logan Stanley, let Ville Heinola, you know, play out this string of games. And obviously out of necessity, when you lose Neil Pionk, you need a guy who's going to be able to play on that right side. Logan Stanley's done that a little bit, but for the most part, you know, he's a left side guy. But again, I think you have to allow these guys that opportunity, because if you don't, you know, Troy asked me about Dylan Sandberg. Troy Stevens in the chat asked me if I thought Dylan Sandberg should be a guy that should have gotten, you know, into games. I'm of the opinion, and I talked to people who watched him in college, because I can't pretend like I did. That
there's the comment that's on your screen
now. Yeah, well, there's been a few, but anyways, the point is that should a guy like Dylan Sandberg be afforded the opportunity to have learned in the NHL? The NHL is not a developmental league. The NHL is not a league for guys who are still developing their game. Dylan Sandberg, again, I've watched the guy play every single game he's played in the pro ranks this season. I think this guy has a ton of upside. I think he's going to be a very good Winnipeg Jet for years to come. But the NHL is not a place for Dylan Sandberg to learn his craft. The AHL is. And when he makes a mistake, I mean, there was a pinch along the wall that led to a goal against the Moose because it put Johnny Kovacevic on a two-on-one, defending a two-on-one because of the pinch that Sandberg made. Now, I'm not going to take him to task for it because it's a learning moment for the kid. Pascal Vincent throws him out the next shift. Paul Maurice can't do that. So that's what people have to understand, is that the NHL is not a place you want these young guys, especially defensemen. A forward, I'm less inclined to worry about, but a defenseman is not, it's not a place for these guys to learn. So you go and you play Johnny Kovacevic, second year pro, is playing 38 minutes in a game. You're not doing that in the NHL. So I'm just saying, like, there's
put the context around that, because the Moose only had five defensemen that game for whatever reasons.
And one of whom was a forward playing in his third AHL game. Right. All I'm saying is I'm just saying that a guy like Villanueva is experienced enough that you can throw him in and you'll feel confident that he knows what to do. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's Saturday morning. We're live here on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. This segment brought to you by our friends at Boston Pizza. Boston Pizza has the perfect starting lineup tonight with the BP Game Day Meal Deal. Choose two of your favorite gourmet pizzas, along with a triple order of Boston Pizza's famous wings, plus two dipping sauces, all for $54.99. It serves 5 to 6 people. Available for takeout and delivery only at bostonpizza.com or download the MyBP app. Saturday morning, as I mentioned, it is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A reminder that later on tonight, after the Moose game, after the Jets and the Senators game, getting a little ahead of myself, the Moose at 2 o'clock this afternoon, but after the Jets and the Senators tonight, back here on our YouTube channel, it's going to be the Illegal Curve post game show. Join myself, Dave, and Ezzy as we break down everything that happened between the Jets and the Senators in tonight's final Saturday night of the regular season. For the Jets, of course, playoff time still to come. Don't know the playoff schedule. Won't know it probably for another week or 10 days or so, but time will tell on that front. And we are pleased now to welcome to the program our good friend from TSN in Toronto. You know him as one of the key members of Overdrive on TSN Radio. Our buddy Jeff O'Neill joins us on the program. Jeff, good morning. Nice to see you, buddy. Good. How are you?
Good to see you guys. Yeah, just living the dream here in Ontario. I don't know what you guys are doing, but we can't leave our house yet. So
we got our lockdown rules yesterday as well. I don't know if they're as quite as stringent as they are in Ontario. We can still golf here, so I'm not quite sure what the logic behind that is in Ontario. But I guess that's for a separate show at a different point in time, right there, Jeff?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, it's just, we got to get through this, and we all know that, but to be the only place in the world you can't golf, I just find that a little bit goofy.
It certainly isn't, there's not a lot of logic behind it as far as I'm concerned. Jeff, obviously brought you on, talk about the Winnipeg Jets, talk about the North Division. You know, a lot of the talk earlier this week had to do with Jets head coach Paul Maurice, and you know Paul Maurice as a player, as well as almost anybody that's played for him. And the question was asked, you know, is he stubborn? Is he a stubborn head coach? From your experience being around the game for so many years, is Paul Maurice, would you consider him stubborn, or, you know, maybe just as stubborn as a lot of other head coaches that you've encountered?
I think anybody in the coaching industry is stubborn, and I actually don't blame them for it. I think you have to have some things set in place. Obviously, there's area where there's got to be give and take. But when you're dealing with probably 30 personalities as far as the players go, and everybody chimes in, and everybody's got an ego, and everybody's got an agent, and everybody's got a dad that thinks their kid's the best. Sometimes when you're the guy in charge, and I mean, Daryl Sutter is a great example of it as well. Do you think Daryl Sutter is stubborn? I would say so, yes. But he runs the show, and he's not just having everybody's ego and everybody involved. And so I think that's part of the gig, where it's like you almost got to be stubborn. I think Paul's grown a lot as a coach over the years since when I had him in Carolina. But I think being stubborn as a head coach, I mean, I don't know what the context of the conversation was with Paul, if it had anything to do with Scheifele or Hellebuck or whatever. Those were just personal decisions. I don't think that's stubbornness.
It had to do with playing young players, playing rookies. And I think he sort of countered that by saying that when he had his most success in Carolina, he played 9 or 10 rookies that year. So he was, you know, I think many people here in Winnipeg wanted to see rookie defenseman Villanueva a lot quicker than they have. And that's where the conversation sort of got its origins from.
Well, I don't know. What I've learned from pro sports is, sometimes there's messages sent throughout organizations, throughout media, throughout all the different chains. that nobody has no idea about. For instance, if your G, and I'm not saying this is the case in Winnipeg, if your GM doesn't get you anybody at the deadline, you start playing guys that aren't capable to show them, send a message up to the GM saying, well, you're not going to get me anybody. This is what I got. So they're going to be thrown out there. If the coach doesn't like the roster that's available at training camp, they'll all of a sudden just start playing guys that they want or they like, whether the GM likes it or not. So those messages, that's a part of all the decision-making where somebody's happy, somebody's not happy. I mean, that happens throughout all sports, especially in hockey.
Oh, dog, there's obviously a lot of talk, you know, here in Winnipeg about, you know, whether the Jets match up better against Toronto or Edmonton, because obviously, you know, the Jets-Habs series isn't going to happen. And I imagine, you know, in Ontario, there's a lot of fans that are, you know, dying to see the Leafs and Habs match up in the first round. But when you look at this Jets team, and I know you watch the Leafs more, but you've watched the Jets as well, covering it for TSN and TSN 1050. Like, is there a team that you think the Jets match up more against? Because the Jets have had a lot of trouble with Connor McDavid and the Oilers this year, losing seven times. But having said that, they've also had a lot of trouble shutting down Auston Matthews, John Tavares, and Mitch Marner as well.
I think what the Jets' number one goal is to get everyone healthy and try to get as dialed in as possible before the playoffs. Because if Hellebuck's cooking and everyone's dialed in, and I don't love their decor. I'll be flat out honest with that. I don't think that's a secret, my opinion. I thought Chevy should have done something more at the deadline to help that decor. But if that roster is all going and they've got the depth and their star players are playing well, they shouldn't even be thinking about Connor McDavid or Auston Matthews. If they're playing well, they should be making the other team adjust to them and worry about them. Because when Hellebuck's going good and they show that depth up front, everybody talked about that top nine they have is the best in the league, or if not up there. So for their situation, they got to get dialed in and get cooking right before the playoffs. And then Edmonton's got to say, okay, yeah, we got McDavid and Draisaitl, but how the hell are we going to compete with them after they go off the ice? That's the mission, because there's no way in hell that Edmonton can compete with that team when those two star players leave the ice. The players are just better. Adam Lowry, Stastny, those guys, those depth players for after the Scheifele line, they should be eating up the Edmonton Oilers. So I don't think they should fear anything. Obviously, when you're looking at McDavid, what he's doing right now, it's almost like he could single-handedly win a series, as goofy as that sounds. He's getting 3 points a night. Will that happen in the playoffs? I don't know. But him and Draisaitl would scare the heck out of me, yeah. But the Winnipeg Jets got to flip the script here and say, okay, that's great. You're unbelievable. Respect you and everything. But when you go off the ice, we're going to crush your team. And if it's same for Toronto, if they're playing Toronto, that should be the goal for them. I think anyway, that's where their strength is.
Saturday morning, you're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all our social media platforms. Our guest from TSN in Toronto, TSN 1050 Overdrive, our good friend Jeff O'Neill joins us on the show.
You know, the Jets just finished a seven-game losing streak. They finally won. They beat the Flames. They've got four games left. You know, you have 11-plus seasons in the NHL. How important was it for you as a player? Like you said, you got to get all those guys cooking. How important is it that the team is vibing just before the playoffs in order to have that sort of success in that first round and then continue on?
Yeah, they just got out of that losing streak. And I don't know if it's kind of a pessimistic thought process, but I kind of like a team that goes through some growing pains or a struggle right about the time the Jets did, because hopefully they get out of it and it's in their rearview mirror. Because no matter if it's a 56-game season or 82-game season, there's always a time where everybody's going to have their arms up in the air saying, oh, my God, our team sucks. The players think the team sucks. The coach does. The GM does. And the Winnipeg Jets had that streak not too long ago. But they're out of it, hopefully. And if they just need to get healthy and get into the playoffs, and hopefully they start peaking at the right time and carry right through the playoffs. I think the players' goal, and it's very difficult, obviously, you can't have everybody playing well at the same time. But the guys that really matter, the core guys, the center iceman, the goaltender, the defenseman, you get everybody cooking at the same time, that's a dangerous team, man, and they should scare people a lot.
you know, from sort of piggybacking on that, Jeff, you know, being in Toronto, you obviously cover the Leafs closer. You know, do the Jets scare you at a different level than, say, a Montreal Canadiens team that's fully healthy? I mean, that's the caveat, of course, with both the Jets and the Habs right now, the Habs especially, riddled with injuries. Come playoff time, you know, if Montreal's healthy, given that they might be seeing, you know, a week between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs, how much, you know, how much fear does a Montreal Canadiens team strike into the heart of the Leafs or the Leafs fans?
Right now, after what I watched the other night, it's zero. And the only way they would start striking fear into people is if Carey Price got healthy. They have a difficult time scoring, and it just seems like there's just a negative cloud around that team. I don't know what it is. They've been through it this year, and it seems like one thing after the other. Coach gets fired. They can't score goals. They can't keep it out of the net. They can't keep a can't score a power play goal. They can't score an I don't know. It just seems like Cole Caulfield's been a shot in the arm. But if I'm an NHL team going through tape right now with the Montreal Canadiens, I'm not scared of that whatsoever. The idea of Shea Weber coming back, yeah, he's a big, strong guy. But Carey Price would be the one guy. And he has to get in, number one, and return to form, like vintage Carey Price form. Because I don't know if you've been watching the last couple of years. He lets in a lot of goals right now, or he has been. So those are big ifs for them to scare anybody, because right now I don't think they scare anybody.
You talk about a cloud sort of over the organization, and I mean, Marc Bergevin in Montreal has gone through coaches, you know, basically on schedule every 2 or 3 years. It's time for a new coaching change. How much does that sort of permeate the dressing room? You know, always constantly having to churn through coaches, not letting a coach like Claude Julien maybe work through it a little bit more. I mean, we see here in Winnipeg, Paul Maurice has been around now. I believe this is year 8. The Jets have had 2 coaches in total since they came back from Atlanta, you know, versus the constant churn that you're seeing in Montreal, that you're seeing in Calgary, certainly as well. You know, how much does that impact the dressing room itself?
I think when you're in the best league in the world, it's just so difficult to perform. You're almost so, as a player, I think you're so tunnel vision. You just have to go, you're going to work and you're just thinking about your own game and working hard. Like, let's be honest, guys, like hockey is not rocket science. Like, it's not rocket science. The coach comes in, maybe he could change a system a little bit. You might have to alter a little bit of your routes on the ice, but if you can't pick that up and figure that out at that level, there's something wrong. So it's a different voice, and obviously different players have to adjust, because the new guy might not like you as much as the other guy. He might like you more. He might give you more of an opportunity. So you're going to – whatever. There's that to adjust to, but I'm always baffled by, the players are adjusting to the system or whatever. I mean, I always thought an NHL player could get a message from a coach on the bench, okay, guys, we're up by 2 goals with 7 minutes left. Go into a defensive style. Okay, that's not that hard. And what, these guys take 6 months to adjust to a system? I've never really understood that. It's, you know.
Are you possibly saying, Jeff, that those of us in the media are maybe a little bit full of it?
I'm in the media now, so I can't say that.
Fair enough.
You know, O-Dog, just with, you know, keeping with goaltending, sorry, you know, you mentioned Carey Price, and I agree with you 100%. Having a healthy Carey Price would obviously help the Habs big time against the Leafs or, you know, the Oilers. But, you know, when you talk about in Toronto, obviously, you know, some Jets fans, you know, in the chat might not like that we're switching to the Leafs, but, you know, you cover the Leafs and I don't really care because they are the best team in the North Division, at least in the regular season. But, you know, Freddie Anderson, obviously, you know, he didn't have a very good showing against the Moose, and the expectation is that he's going to be taken off long-term injured reserve next week. And I think you'd agree that right now, you know, it's Jack Campbell's net and, you know, Freddie Anderson is the backup. But how much of a concern do you think the goaltending is going into the playoffs? Or again, is that a media creation? Because I imagine you guys have talked about it quite a bit on Overdrive. You know, Campbell's obviously had a storybook season, but what's kind of your level of confidence in the Leafs goaltending right now?
I think there's confidence just because of Jack Campbell's record. Everyone keeps referencing, and I do it myself, and it's hard not to do just because of what the situation is. And the situation is he's been a career backup goaltender. So you're kind of weighing the two things or the two elements, and one is his record right now, which I believe is 16-2-2, which I don't care what league you're in or what level, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good, but people always have it in the back of their head, and it's difficult not to do, and I do the same where it's like, is this guy turning into a pumpkin sometime soon? And is it going to be in the playoffs? Isn't it going to cost the Leafs? And the other side of it is Freddie Anderson. He's got to play a couple games in the big league level to get ready. This is like his training camp. You can't go down and play the Moose for 25 minutes or whatever the hell he did and be ready to play in the NHL. I'd rather him practice with the big team. But if he's going to be a part of the equation, which my hopes are that he is, because I think if the Leafs do go on a run, it would be a Chicago situation or a Pittsburgh situation where Darling had to help out Corey Crawford and Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray did it together. I don't know if one of these guys can get the job done itself, either through play or health or whatever it is. And another thing, guys, just to follow up on the topic, it's been a weird – I got a bit of a sour taste in my mouth for goalies this year, man. I've just seen so many times where – goalies are playing terrible, and it's awfully difficult, and you cannot do it in the NHL. It's question injuries or whatever. But I've seen so many goalies getting destroyed in the net, and all of a sudden, got to go. Something's wrong. Like, I always wonder, it's like, if they were getting a shutout, would they be just racing out of the net like they do? It's just been a crazy year, and I just find that goalies, I don't know, and I'm not going to name in any individually, but it's like when it hits the fan, it's like, well, just – and I know for a fact that some organizations have had very difficult time finding out what the hell's wrong with some of these guys. So thumbs down to goalies right now.
Jeff O'Neill is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. You know Jeff, of course, with his work with TSN in Toronto, TSN 1050 Overdrive, Monday to Friday. You can tune into that great show as well.
You know, Jeff, you mentioned tunnel vision, and I feel like everybody in Canada this year has had tunnel vision, because if you ask me what's happening in the rest of the league, I would have absolutely no idea.
No, it's like it feels, the KHL.
Yeah, honestly, I use that analogy. We were having someone on from Minnesota, and I said it may as well be the KHL right now, because I have absolutely no idea what is happening with the other divisions. But how do you think that's going to factor in, whether it's Toronto or Winnipeg or Montreal or Edmonton that comes out of this North division? How do you think these teams will fare against these teams that, like, it's too old baseball mentality of the American League versus National League, where you didn't play each other. You don't really know what you're going to face, right?
I kind of get a sense that there's going to be an ass beating one way or the other. Like, one team's going to be like, oh, okay, maybe we're not that good, or man, we're way better than Tampa or Florida or Pittsburgh or something like that. I just think the unfamiliarity is going to be a shock where you thought you were trucking along pretty good, but then the other guys are just better. And I'm a dreamer, man. I just think of weird stuff. I think the semifinals could be like sweeps, just because it's just a shock and another team's way better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just the fact that they're just, I don't know about you guys, this North division's been great and everything for Canada and, you know, where I work and where everybody works, but I could care less to watch Winnipeg, Calgary, Toronto. I've had enough. I'm ready for the playoffs and to get out of the North Division. Even when I watch, like, you're tuning into other games, it's like, if I see Pittsburgh play New Jersey one more time, I quit. I give up. Or Buffalo, Philly. I'm like, I can't keep watching this. It's like Groundhog Day. It's just the same thing over. And they're such good players. I love watching hockey. But, man, I was like, oh, my God, these guys again?
So you're not going to tune in for those final three games between the Canucks and the Flames after the rest of the North Division schedule is all complete and they're making them play those three meaningless games for some reason?
I will. I'll end up doing it just because I kind of have to, and I kind of addicted to it. So I just tune in. I'm like, okay, I'll try to pull something out of this that's meaningless, but it generally probably won't happen.
Jeff, we'll let you go on this last question. I mean, the big talk of the week was, of course, Tom Wilson and the Rangers and all that. I'll use the word fiasco. I don't necessarily know if that's your word. I guess sort of, what were your thoughts about all that? Did the player safety get it wrong? Did they get it right? Did Wilson step over a line? Sort of just, you know, your quick sort of summary of what you felt about that.
I think Tom Wilson you know, for everybody that was outraged and think it was the, you know, the end of the world and it's a goon league, he got fined. The New York Rangers dealt with it, and they were big boys about it. They weren't calling their parents saying, I just don't want to go out there and play in this league. I'm scared or I hate it or whatever. And it's over with. You won't see it for five more years. And, you know, for everyone that thinks it's a goon league, it's just, it's a high skill league. It's not the Quebec Pee Wee tournament. Like, guys handle stuff differently than a than an office space or a different OHL league or whatever. It's big boy stuff. And for the last time I checked, everyone in the sporting world, not just hockey, was tuning into the Caps Rangers, where the other they might not have before that. And it's kind of weird because the puck drops and there's six fights, and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of a tough look for the hockey. But people are watching it, and they'll decide afterwards if they like that or not. So I just think it was dealt with. It was obviously explosive stuff. I mean, we had stuff to talk about for 4 days about the Rangers and Caps, and we never talk about them at all. But we'll move on, and it's over with, and there was a spotlight on the NHL for 3 or 4 days. And that's it. I mean, you won't see that again for a long time. That's for sure.
Jeff O'Neill is with TSN 1050 in Toronto. Overdrive, you can tune into that Monday through Friday. O-Dog, always appreciate it. Nice to see you, buddy. Keep your chin up. I know it's getting difficult there, but you got our thoughts and you know, sending you some good vibes over there. We'll get back onto the golf course soon enough, bud.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks, Ezra, for the note, bud. See ya.
Take care, Jeff. There he goes. Jeff O'Neill, O-Dog, joining us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we are live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Some final thoughts from you guys before we wrap it up for this Saturday morning. The Jets and the Senators later on tonight, of course. Post-game show, the Illegal Curve post-game show. Going to be a busy Saturday night around 8:30, 8:40. And then again, back at it Monday and Tuesday with the Canucks and the Jets. The post-game shows those nights as well. Just some final thoughts ahead of tonight's game between the Jets and the Senators.
Yeah, well, firstly, a great interview with O-Dog, and, you know, we always love having him on, and it's crazy. I know Dave probably thinks this as well, you know, doing the double coverage with the Moose and Jets. It's crazy that, you know, there's only 4 games left in the season, right? Like, how did that fly by so quickly? But, you know, I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be, you know, a much more exciting game than maybe we thought it was going to be, you know, a month ago when you looked at the schedule. And you know, you saw this Ottawa game, even though I think this might have been the game that was rescheduled, if I'm not mistaken. Was this the one that was rescheduled?
Yeah, well, yes, this is the game that was added when you go back. Yeah, they were supposed to play two in a row against Ottawa, and then they didn't end up doing so. Right. So this is, yeah, I couldn't for sure tell you when this game was originally scheduled for. I think it was supposed to be played yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and then it got moved, or it was supposed to be played on a Friday, and then it got moved to, obviously, tonight. So
yeah. And the only reason why I brought that up, Drew, is because, you know, I don't think a lot of people were circling the Jets and Senators, you know, in early May. But the point is, like, we talked about it. This Senators team, I like watching this team. And I think you guys, you know, would agree with that, that they're an exciting team to watch, you know, with all of that talent, Dave, that's, you know, come up through the American Hockey League, right? With guys like Batherson and Formenton. And obviously, you know, Brady Tkachuk is we all know he's the leader of this team now, right? He's so young, but, you know, he's the one that, you know, drives it. And hopefully the Jets are able to shut down Connor Brown, who's done some damage against them, you know, on the penalty kill. But it's a big test here. And, you know, all eyes have to be on Heinola. And, you know, Dave predicted it. And, you know, we got the confirmation that Heinola is going to be able to, you know, get some power play time on that second unit. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how he does with that. You know, maybe he'll put up some points and just, you know, how the Jets are going to follow up, you know, breaking the losing streak against Calgary, you know, with another honest, hardworking effort against a team that, you know, has already defeated them within the last week. So, you know, Connor Hellebuck's going to get a great opportunity to continue his strong play with the shutout that he got a couple of, 3 nights ago on Wednesday, but also just, you know, the Jets have to find, you know, more consistency in the scoring department from, you know, the players that have been struggling. And we don't have to, you know, go over it, but, you know, the main ones are Dubois and Connor that, you know, you hope that they're able to put some pucks behind whoever's in net for Ottawa. It's probably going to be Gustafson.
Before we let Dave have the final word this morning, a quick update from the World Curling Championships. Kerry Einarsson and her team from Gimli, Manitoba, after struggling to start the tournament, qualified for the playoffs, which was a terrific accomplishment given where they were at a point in time, which means Canada will qualify for the Olympics, which is also equally important. At the fifth end break against Sweden, needing to win to move on to the semifinals, Canada trailing 5-2 to Sweden. So hopefully a better second half of the game for Kerry Einarsson, her team from Gimli, to keep the good vibes going into the semifinals at the World Curling Championship.
They just have to score four in the next end, Dave. Drew, just get four, right, and you're going to be right back in it.
Just get an eight ender, and you got the game in control, Dave. Your final thoughts for tonight. Cool. Give a plug, of course, to your Moose coverage, because I know you will anyways.
Well, I'm not going to give any insight, any curling analysis, considering the only time I've ever curled was in West St. Paul at their curling rink, and I got asked to leave after I dropped the rock on the ice. So it was a very short curling first ever outing for me. Let's just put it that way. So curling is not a sport I even understand or pretend.
Is that in high school, Dave?
Yeah, I was in high school. My uncle's actually a pretty good curler. I think he curls in the doctor's league. He's pretty good. He's won some championships out in Edmonton before, but I don't have any of his curling.
Shout out to aptitude for,
yeah. But no, I mean, it's going to be a busy day. There's no question about it. This is a Moose team that has now gone 8-0-0-1 or 8-0-0-1 to be more accurate. And they've just been firing on all cylinders. Had a really good game against the Toronto Marlies team that tied the game up in like 36 seconds in the second period, the last game, to make it a 3-3 game. Then Nelson Noje scored his first goal of the year. Turned out to be the game winner about 45 seconds after the Marlies had tied it. And then Cole Keller, the Manitoban, ended up getting the win, his second win in relief, because then Mikael Burden got the hook. So you're expecting a bounce-back game from Mikael Burden. And this is a Moose team that, again, like I said, they don't quit. There's so many good stories. Dylan Sandberg, like I said, his first pro goal. Ty Pelton-Bice, he's a guy the Jets signed, played with Cole Caulfield in Wisconsin. He scored his first pro goal. Lots of good things to like from the Manitoba Moose. Jeff Malott scored his 13th, actually sadly zero, David. I had zero drinks before I dropped that rock. Jeff Malott scored
his 13th. Just not that strong, apparently.
No, I was horsing around. I was being an idiot. So 13th goal for Jeff Malott. He ties the AHL rookie scoring lead. He's been a really good story out of Cornell. So there's a lot to like from the Manitoba Moose. They get going at 2 o'clock. You can watch that game. I think it might be on TSN2. I'm not sure. I know the last one was on TSN2. If not, Daniel Fink will have the call on CGOB. You can listen to him. So that's a lot to look forward to. And then, of course, the Winnipeg Jets will go, and you know, we're going to have full coverage on that on the website. We'll have the media availability from this morning on illegalcurve.com. You can look at that for that in the pregame report. And then, of course, the postgame report also will be up on illegalcurve.com. We'll be doing the postgame. So, you know, lots to look forward to. And more importantly, let's get some likes. Before you go, get your Saturday started. Before you turn on the Moose game, drop some likes in the video. Hit that like. Make, as Mike Sievy said, hit the subscribe button and ring that bell.
No,
Smash the bell, ring, give us some likes, everything along those lines. Reminder, tonight's post-game show right around 8:35, 8:40, give or take a couple minutes there. The three of us will all be back later tonight to talk about the Jets and the Senators. Want to give a big thank you to everybody who joined us on the program this morning. Mike McIntyre, Ian Mendez, and of course, Jeff O'Neill. Big thanks to them for joining us. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Support any other local businesses right now because they certainly need your assistance as we're into lockdown number 3, unfortunately. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg.
Hold on.
Okay. What?
There's one thing that we forgot.
What's that?
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And unfortunately, you know, you guys know my mom passed away when I was very, very young, but it's still a special day for me. I always, some time to remember her. But you know, it's a very important day because there aren't enough words for how important moms are in everybody's life. So we got to get that in there. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Well said, Ezzy. I was remiss, certainly, in missing that, but thank you for catching me there before I would get in trouble, certainly with my mom and my wife and everybody and everything along those lines. On that note, salute to the mothers. We'll see everybody back here around 8:35, 8:40 later on tonight for the post-game show. All your latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is available on illegalcurve.com. It's also on our YouTube page, so subscribe there. Don't miss a minute. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.